Blog Talk Radio.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters.
We're
now listening to Wealthy Sisters. We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters. We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters. We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters.
Deborah Hartnett.
Well, hello, hello, and welcome to Wealthy Sisters Radio, brought to you by Wealthy Sisters Media Group, where we proudly promote positive people. You can visit us for all your branding and publishing needs at WealthySistersMedia.com. That's SISTAS, WealthySistersMedia.com. Here at Wealthy Sisters Radio, we love connecting businesses with people, stories, and music, and our purpose is twofold, y'all. First, we got to make sure that we continue to inspire you, that dynamic audience, and encourage you with practical knowledge, and also that knowledge that you can apply to your life right now for that positive impact, and also, of course, to your business. And then second, we must continue to provide a platform to edify, promote, acknowledge, and say thank you to the sisters for doing big things. I'm Deborah Hartnett, your host, broadcasting live on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network, and today is another outstanding Tuesday, happens to be the last day of June, June 30th, 2015, and we are here every week at the same time. That's Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Eastern. Thank you so much for telling everybody about us, sharing the show, tweeting it out, you know, sending us all the messages, sending us the love at Facebook, at Twitter, under Wealthy Sisters. And also, we appreciate you so much for downloading the show. Like right now, people are listening to the show live and downloading some of our other episodes. You can do that always, 24/7. We are here for you at WealthySistersRadio.com. That's WealthySistersRadio.com, and you can always find us there complimentary on iTunes under Wealthy Sisters. So we are here. Want you to know that we are a tool for you for business. Of course, we are all independent business owners. But as we say every week, we are interdependent. We need each other, and we want to make sure that you have a platform, you have a resource, a tool, a place that you can go and get information and know that you are not in business by yourself. Sometimes it can be lonely. Sometimes you can feel like you are like in a jungle with no one there around you but just you, and we don't want you ever to feel that way. That's why I want to remind you, encourage you, and just suggest strongly, suggest that you make sure you mark our page, bookmark us at Wealthy Sisters Radio, join our mailing list at WealthySistersRadio.com as well, and stay plugged in so that you can learn every week about the phenomenal guests that we have here on the show. And I tell you, this day is the end of the Black Music Month. We are celebrating, have been celebrating all month, and we've got a great show for you. I promise you we do. I'm so excited about our show today. Yes, indeed. But you know what that time is. We have come to that moment, the business question of the week. That's right. I tell you, everybody loves the business question of the week. And you know, if you've got a question that you'd like to ask, no question is ever dumb. No question is ever too small. Ask. A lot of times we just don't have the time to go and do the research, but you know, I've been in business myself for over 25 years, right? And I know a lot. Now, I know I don't know everything, but I've got sense enough to go and find the right people, as we do every week, with experts and the right information. So we want to congratulate our very special business question of the week. So our business question of the week happens to come from Miss Monica. Mansa, and she is from, oh, wow, Seattle, Washington. Thank you for listening to us. She says she downloads the show every week. She's been listening now for 2 years. And this is a great question, you guys. she and her husband are in business together, and she has life insurance. They both have life insurance on each other. And the question has come to them that they need to buy key person insurance. And she's wondering, is that something that she needs to purchase? Well, okay, that is a great question. Now, key person, a lot of people might be tuning in and you've probably heard it or you may not have heard what key person insurance is. Key person insurance is simply a life insurance policy. And it's really, really important in small business for small business owners to be aware of this. This is usually the owner or the founders or some other key person that in event, because we do have to talk about it. We talk about it here on the show. Business is about life and we are here and gone the next. So that time when if you have a key person that makes their transition or pass away, what do you do? What happens to your business? That person who's been very, very instrumental in making your business run, and that could be a loved one in the case of Munchay's question here, or it could be someone that you brought on board, a partner. Either way, that person is going to have a devastating loss to your company. How do you replace that person? How do you replace the income that that person is generating? That is the purpose of key person insurance. Now, I would suggest for you, Munchay, to please make sure that you consult your professionals in your area there. But my opinion, you've got life insurance. If you had a job, you would have life insurance outside of what would happen with your job. Well, the same place. Your business is your job. Your business is generating income there. And if your spouse or vice versa, you pass away, what would happen to that business? You know, we should really think about building our businesses. And as we talk about those exit strategies often here on the show, what is that exit strategy? And that's one of the things that can happen. So, yes, we strongly suggest that you really, really closely look at getting some type of key person insurance to replace that income and to replace that person whenever, God forbid, they pass before you plan a different strategy or exit strategy. So once again, thank you so much, Munchay, for sending in your question to Wealthy Sisters Radio. And if you have a question that you'd like us to have an opportunity to perhaps answer here on the show, you can send it to family@wealthysistersradio.com. Again, that's family@wealthysistersradio.com, or you can call our hotline at 800-917-9435, extension 808, 800-917-9435, extension 808. Well, I tell you, we are so excited. As I told you, we are celebrating Black Music Month. This happens to be the last day, and when I tell you how excited I am to have this young man on our show today, I'm telling you, this brother is doing it. He is incredible. And you know what we've been talking about here all month is the business behind the scenes. See, it's more to it than just someone cutting a record or cutting an album or what have you. It's a lot behind it, a lot of intricate details. And so we want you to really, really look at expanding your businesses, and maybe there's some areas in the music industry that you can participate in, because not all of us can sing, right? We talked about that. But this young man is someone that I have a ton of respect for. As a matter of fact, you've got to understand this. He is none other than Kevin Cahill Cates. He's a multi-platinum Grammy Award-winning producer with over 30 million. Did you hear me say that? 30 million records combined sold with such artists as Jay-Z, T.I., R. Kelly, just to name a few. He's a major player in the music industry, and this is what I love about him. This is why I say he is so brilliant, because he maintains full control over his production and publishing, which is a feat almost unheard of in his field. And really, really, what is touching my heart and why we're thrilled to have him on the show today, he is a philanthropist. He's built this organization called Bridge the Gap, which is a nonprofit that helps uses hip-hop for educating students, teaching them all types of life lessons. And then he is also the founder and creator of Cool Curriculum, a technology that supports learning from K-12. So he has the solution to all these dropout concerns out there. And he's right here with us live on Wealthy Sisters Radio today. So go ahead, call everybody, text them, Facebook them, tweet them, tell them to dial 347-838-9278, 347-838-9278. Tell them we have none other than Mr. Cahill on the line with us today. We will take a short message break, and we'll be right back with none other than Grammy Award-winning producer Cahill. Stay tuned.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters Radio Show.
Are you aware that one out of three women veterans have suffered some form of sexual assault and or harassment, which oftentimes causes both physical and psychological injuries? Recent studies show that while post-traumatic stress disorder, known as PTSD, may be a diagnosis, it continues to be unrecognized by the VA and, importantly, remain untreated by the victims. Call Aaron Durden at 800-330-0234 to discuss whether or not you are entitled to veteran benefits. Call me at 800-330-0234.
DHerbs.com's Full Body Cleanse works to naturally cleanse and detoxify the body to aid in weight release, enhancing the immune system, and increasing energy levels. The Full Body Cleanse consists of the blood and lymphatic formula, cardiovascular, liver, spleen, and gallbladder, lungs and respiratory, kidneys, bladder, and adrenals, colon and digestive tract, and activated charcoal. When you cleanse your body, you open up the door to healing and rejuvenation. DHerbs.com.
We're live back here on Wealthy Sisters Radio. I am Deborah Hartnett, your host, and you know we're so grateful to have you here with us. We appreciate you so much for listening to our show and finding great value in the rich content that we provide you every week. Thank you again. I can't thank you enough. As July is almost here, we'll be celebrating 6 years because of you. And yes, I tell you, today we have another spectacular show for you as we end the celebration for Black Music Month here as we talk about the business of music. And today our very special guest is none other than the Grammy Award winning producer Kevin Cahill. Kate, please, please help me welcome, give him a great standing ovation to Wealthy Sisters Radio. Hello, Cahill. How are you?
I am doing great. How about yourself?
Fantastic, fantastic. We're excited to have you on with us today.
I'm excited to be here. That was an awesome introduction. Feel awesome.
Well, hey, you are, brother. You are. If nobody told you that today, let us be the first to remind you of how special you are. Absolutely.
Amen.
You know, you have done it, you're doing it, and you're setting that example. And we just want to say how much we appreciate you for, you know, representing and being a difference, living the difference, and just, you know, following up on what you say you're going to do. I mean, everybody that talks about you, anybody we ask about you, I mean, they have nothing but great things to say. And you know, just it's just great to have you share your story with us here today.
Man, I'm truly excited and honored. And, I mean, I just, you know, I look at it like I give all the glory to God, and I'm just being obedient and doing my part. So I'm happy to, you know, share some info and any knowledge that, you know, that comes from the story. You know, I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, I don't know if they told you, we are a little bit nosy here at Wealthy Sisters Radio. Everybody always like to know where did he come from? You know, we say, what are all those ingredients that goes in that recipe, that great recipe that we see today? So, you know, if you don't mind sharing with us a little bit about your background and how you actually got started in this industry today.
Sure. I'm from I'm originally from Montgomery, Alabama. And
all right, the Gulf representing.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of those things where I always knew that music was going to be something. I knew it was something that I was meant to do. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I knew at that point that I was going to just have to do everything I needed to learn. Everything I needed to learn about music, I really got on it because I knew that from the beginning, you never know how your opportunity is going to come. And although I was a talented producer and prior to that an artist, I was like, you know, that's not enough. So if I can be able to serve someone and learn everything about music to where whenever opportunity came, I would be able to do it. So, I mean, literally, I was working at the radio station, had my own mix show. I was running a nightclub before I was old enough to be in one. You name it.
Wait a minute now.
You know, if
people
had to
saw
do
something
music,
in you, huh? Uh-huh.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I was just a go-getter, and there was no blue book for us, no blueprint or anything. It was one of those situations to where I found out later on when you look at the music business and you look at New York and Atlanta and Los Angeles, those are your big music markets. But Alabama was listed under others with Wyoming and, you know, places. It didn't even have its own identity. So I realized that I had to just, you know, go hard and work and do my part. But in the mix of that, I did everything I could in the city to where I kind of became this big fish in this small pond where I had my songs on the radio. I was doing everything that could have happened. And then people started to say, hey, if anybody was going to make it, it would have been this guy, and he hasn't made it yet. And so then I became this story to where parents would literally use me as a failure story to their, you know, to their kids,
oh,
saying,
no,
if you want to do this music, you'll be running around here chasing a dream like K.O., not doing nothing with your life. And I started saying, you know what, either I'm going to believe these people or I have to get away. So I saved up my money and I moved to Atlanta. And when I moved to Atlanta, I actually got a job as a kind of like support analyst work, because that was my minor in college, computer science. But I got the job through a temp service. So they take, you know, they take half your check, right? So
I was in a situation
to where I wasn't making enough to make ends meet. And I ended up, you know, getting put out of my place, being homeless, living in my truck, and still going to work and still just focused and determined not to let anyone even know back home, including my mom, because I didn't want to prove anybody right, you know, the way they would be like, well, just come on back home, you know, and that's what was expected.
That's
really when my journey, right. That's when my journey actually began. And I would tell people it would be times to where it's cold outside and you want to cut the heat on to the car, but you know to run all your gas out. You know, it was like it was that smoke screen was so thick as far as just being able to persevere through it. But that's what helped me, and that was, you know, what just built me up. So the one thing, the just gateway into how the music side really took off was – there was one rule that I always did of, you know, I made sure I always treated everybody right, because you never know who's going to be that blessing for you. And as I was working at the radio station years prior, I would support a lot of people's music. And there was this one guy who was a promoter for an independent label out of Atlanta. And I was one of the only guys that would play his songs for him. And we got cool. And then years passed. And I met back up with this guy, and he was managing T.I. And this was before T.I. actually. He had his deal, but, you know, he hadn't broke on the scene heavy. I ended up meeting back up with this guy, working with another artist that I was producing a song for that T.I. was going to feature and rap on this record. So as we got to talking, we realized at the end of this meeting that this was the same guy that I helped out years ago. So as we got talking, he was like, you were always insightful. And this was Jason Jeta, the co-founder of Grand Hustle. So at this point, we were talking, and he was like, well, hey, I think it would be cool if you could, you know, help out with what we're doing. We're starting a label now. At that point, they were a management company. And I was like, great. So I knew all these avenues and resources I had didn't quite work great for me, but it would be perfect for that. And then it went from there, you know, and things took off, and you know, the rest was history.
Wow. And I want to go back a little bit, just a couple of things. I mean, a lot of things you've just shared with us, Kevin. You talked about in the beginning, you always knew that you wanted to be a part of music some type of way. Did your parents play music all the time when you were growing up? Where did that love come from? Do you know, how did that just happen for you?
I have no idea, because neither one of my parents are musically, they don't do anything music and music-wise. From day one, you know, I was the kid that would take my G.I. Joes and make them have concerts instead of fighting. So I knew music was it. I don't know, you know. Uh-huh. I may have skipped a generation and hopped over to me, though.
Yeah, that's neat, you know, when you start talking about things that are within you and your passion and something that you know you're supposed to be doing in that area there. And then, you know, to be able to save up your money and not listen, what was it? Because I want to talk about this just for a second, because a lot of times people stop. You know, they say the graveyard is the richest place in the world because that's where all the people that died, they held on to their dreams. They didn't go after them. They didn't fulfill them. And, right. You know, as a young person, what was it in you that made you say, I can't listen or to someone else's description of me? That doesn't define me to say that I'm a failure. What do you know? What it was? Do you remember that moment when you made that decision? Because I like others who are listening, who may be afraid to step out there or move or afraid of change, because that's a big step for people to move.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it was just really one of those things of just believing in myself and really even at times when I would doubt myself, I realized if I'm not going, nothing's going to happen if I don't not only believe it, but see it and maybe not know how it's going to happen, but be ready to take the walk on faith. And I think certain cases when I'm even mentoring with people, I tell them it's a complete difference from just having some wild idea and then hopping all in. You know, I'm like, you know, there is the thing of faith versus logic. And actually understanding that both of those parts of our mind are very important. It's a very important part of survival, but the logic side helps us and secures us. But at the same time, I compare it to a boardroom, and I'm like, okay, if there's the faith side at one side of the table in our minds and then the logic's on the other side, we should at least have the faith side running the head of the chair and take advice from logic so we can actually be able to analyze where we're going, and the logic side will help us say, hey, is this a good idea? What's my chances? Is there a market for this? At least see through to a point to where the faith has to take control. And I think sometimes people may hop out and they don't do that part first, and they move all on their heart, and then they go getting mad or praying or getting mad at God saying, why isn't this happening for me? And it's like, well, did God tell you that's what you were supposed to do? But if it's something you really want, what I had to do was I looked at the entire scenario and said, okay, if I'm going to make it in music, my heart side would have been just rap because I was a great artist. But the logic side said, rappers, that may not be the way I get paid. So I need to learn how to DJ. Mm-hmm. Oh, that can bring in money. I can do this. I can do that. So I created a way to continue to move forward to where if as long as it had something to do with music, I was still in my realm of happiness.
I love it. Wow. If you just tuned in, we're listening live now to Wealthy Sisters Radio. We are celebrating Black Music Month and ending that celebration today, or culminating with none other than Kevin Cahoe Cates. Multi platinum, over 30 million records combined sold. And he's with us here on Wealthy Sisters Radio. Cahoe, we want to take just a short message break, but when we come back, I'd love to learn more about your exposure and how you actually, you know, that moment when you knew, okay, this is it. Because you talked about living in your truck. And then all of a sudden, it may seem like all of a sudden to us, but I'm sure back then it felt like a journey, you know.
Right.
You were able to hook up with the TI's team and move forward from there. So I'd love to talk a little bit more about that and how you have the mindset to maintain full control. That's awesome, of your production and publishing. So we'll be right back after this short break. You are listening to Wealthy Sisters Radio. I'm Deborah Hartnett. Thank you so much for tuning in.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
with Deborah Hartnett.
Dream big, financial freedom, lifestyle change, additional income, be your own boss. If this is the life you've dreamed of, Tracy Lynn Fashion Jewelry is the business for you. This business is simple. If you can wear the jewelry, you can sell the jewelry.
I've earned a $10,000 bonus check.
I'm able to earn $600 to $800 per show and more. Visit TracyLynnJewelry.com and remember, behind every great woman are more great women.
Do you need a vacation? DDM Vacations and Global Travel International offers affordable vacations, cruises, getaways, all-inclusive resorts, honeymoon, family reunions, and more. We specialize in small to large groups, including sightseeing tours. Book your next vacation with DDM Vacation at 800-254-4493, PIN 631-1665. Again, that's 800-254-4493, PIN 631-1665. Or visit us at ddmvacations.globaltravel.com.
We're live here on Wealthy Sisters Radio. Thank you for tuning in to us and downloading the show. A lot of exciting things happening here. As you know, next month, yes, is our anniversary month. 6 years we've been here, live here on Blog Talk Radio, one of the top featured shows here, business shows, and we owe it all to you. Every week providing you with the best of the best and the richest content so that you know that you are in business not alone, but you are here with us, and we want to make sure that you understand we are here for you to provide those resources. So make sure that you follow us on Facebook and Twitter and join our mailing list at WealthySistersRadio.com so that you can stay on top of everything. And today, I tell you, we've got an awesome guest on the line with us today, none other than Top Multi Platinum Grammy Award-winning producer Kevin Cahoe Cates, and he's been sharing some great information. So if you missed the first half, don't worry about it. We got you. Right after the show, you can download it at WealthySistersRadio.com, and also it's available free, complimentary, on iTunes. So, Kevin, you were sharing with us all about beginning, you know, how you're from Montgomery, Alabama, and, you know, there was a point you were the man, the big fish there, and then all of a sudden you didn't make that big break yet, and people, their parents, the parents started using you as an example of what not to do. You know, you don't want to be in that music. You're going to be running around here like, hey ho, and then all of a sudden you had the fortitude to say, you know what, I can do this. I'm going to leave this place, get out of this environment, get to where I know I need to be, move to Atlanta, started working in corporate, had a moment where you were homeless, and then you meet up with the Grand Hustle team, TI team. Mm-hmm. And what, at that moment, you know, was it when you things start to click for you, was it a feeling that, you know, I knew this was going to happen, or was it a feeling like, I can't believe this is happening, or were you even in the moment enough to realize it was happening?
You know, there was a period before I met up with Jason, to where I went through a situation where I became a ghost producer for a well-known producer out of New York. And that came from me being just at the music store. I would go there and look at equipment and say, I'm going to have this one day. And one day a lady was there with a guy, and she kept talking to me, and she introduced me to her guy friend, and he ended up being a guy out of New York that was in the music business. And I played some songs for him, and next thing I know, I was on a plane in New York. Went to his big house in Long Island, and he had all the equipment I can imagine. Brought some pizza down there and some records, and I was a ghost producer before I knew what hit me. So I was producing. Ghost producer means that you're making music for someone else, and they're getting the credit for it, but you're getting paid. So
I didn't even know that was a such, like a ghost writer. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Learn every day. Wow. Okay.
So that built me up to a place to where, you know, I was, you know, making some money and I was coming back up, but it was still this fear because I was still working my 9-to-5 within that, because after being homeless, you know, my thing is I don't ever want to be nowhere near.
I ain't coming
that
back.
Period.
No.
Right. And
I ain't
a
going
friend
back
of mine.
Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Right. A friend of mine really helped me see that, a brother by the name of Rick Connor, and he was like a mentor, and he was like, you know, Teo, why don't you come back home? And he was like, why don't we open a studio up together? And so I saved my little money, and he just made it real to me, like, Teo, you can't go out and do these and only think you're going to make music on the weekends, because the labels are open Monday through Friday while you're working. So either you're going to take this leap and get back into the KO that I know that's going to leap out and make it happen. And so I did that. So we invested in a studio, and that's when I met the gentleman that was paying to get T.I. on the song. So when I got up with them, it wasn't like, oh, I can't believe this, because at the time I didn't, like T.I. was signed to Arista, but he had got dropped from the label. So he had an awesome album, but they didn't know how to promote it. So at that point, they were starting from scratch. So to me, it was more like work. Like, okay, but if you're going to invest, you know, every great leader has to know how to serve. So I said, okay, if this is a situation, this is the best situation where the talent is right, and I can really work wonders with this. So I immediately went to my stomping grounds and called radio stations, send out records, helped get shows booked to where he was, you know, booking. He was in Alabama almost 4 times out of the week in different areas getting paid. And, you know, me, it was serving, so never asked for a dime, just kept working, helping develop other artists on this team. And before you knew it, T.I. came to me and was like, well, K.O., everybody else is sounding good. Where's my beats? And I'm like, I thought you'll never ask. So at that point, I started producing him, and I became, like, head of production for Grand Hustle. But what people always wonder, well, how did you go selling so many records without, you know, doing a pub deal, which in most cases I say selling your soul in certain ways.
Right.
We'll talk about that later. But and I let them know, well, sometimes it's hard to go to somebody and make them sign up under you when you were a part of helping, you know, the whole movement and building things. So I did my part. And I think everyone really assumed. They were like, well, yeah, you know, that's all tied in because that's how the business works. But we were all family, so it was a different thing. And then, of course, once the word got out, it got pretty crazy because there was a lot of, you know, that's, you know, there's a lot of people that weren't happy about that. You know, where you're in someone else's turf and they're not getting a piece of you. And this isn't, you know, particularly, I'm not talking on Grand Hustle. I mean, the labels themselves, you know, that's not
right.
Typically, that's like, okay, something slipped through the cracks and this isn't good. So
how did this happen?
You know,
we can't be missing any money on this. Right.
So, you know, but it was a journey in itself on that part, you know. I had to keep that part, you know, I'll keep that there. But in the process, you know, like I say, God was with me throughout the entire piece. And it was all to prepare me for the next levels, the next chapters of my life, for where things was going. So, really good.
And you moved, I mean, seriously, next levels to, like we said, over 30 million combined, you know, consisting of artists, other artists like R. Kelly and Jay-Z, who, you know, speaks also very highly of you as well. So, you know, in that moment, you're building your biz. Where the idea that you always know you were going to, you know, want to maintain full control? And first of all, explain to us what that means, what full control of your publishing and production and publishing means.
Okay, so the true money within the music business for I mean, since day one, has always been off of ownership. And the way the business, and I can keep it 100 with everyone in real, because, like, once again, no one owns a piece of me, so I can tell you the real without, you know, having to sugarcoat
being
anything.
Being afraid. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So pretty much the music business was set up off of people screwing people. You know, as we saw on the Five Heartbeats movie where they do the song, they slap somebody else's face on there and, you know, and take it
car.
Out. And that's right.
Mm-hmm.
It was always done in a way to where when music has always been there and it's the driving force of just our souls, period. But when the powers to be got together and said, how do we market this out and sell it? And when they created literally the music industry, it was set up in a way to where they can never be screwed over. And it can always. So now you have this situation where you have entertainment law, all these things based around the industry that was set up by entities, you know, that protected themselves and created their own business. So with that being said, it was never set up for us to own anything originally. And when it started getting popular and it wasn't about black or white and, you know, and the artists started crossing over barriers, then they couldn't hold that anymore. So they began to hold, you know, certain figure people who run the labels. And at that point, that becomes the new face. And it was just, to me, it was a situation where everyone was like, okay, I'm going to take from you, but if you want to get it back, you got to take from them. And it was like a situation of teaching the law of the land down through the generations. So now, you know, the whole game is about publishing, because the publishing represents every time that song's played on the radio, every time that video is played, every time it's played at a basketball game, if it's played wherever that your music is played, there's money that is that's paid out every time.
Residual.
And that's all over the world. So you get, you know, you get mechanical royalties for the sales of the album, but the publishing lasts forever. Every time a commercial comes on and they want to use your song, then there's a check for that.
Right.
That's what's been guarded. And a lot of times, they, you know, it will be a situation to where they will give deals, and really they stop giving producers big money deals after like, you know, the era of the mid, the late
90s,
mid 90s.
Okay.
They stopped that because they realized the more money they gave some of us, we would get lazy and they couldn't get, you know, we want to go spend the money. So they're like, okay, we got to figure out another way. So they came up with other ways to be more crafty. And in the mix of that, you know, you get a pub deal, which they'll give you, they may allocate you X amount of money and they may say, hey, you're going to get $1 million pub deal. But that $1 million pub deal, they've already calculated off of the music that's already out there, how much is out there before they actually say what they're going to give you. And then they don't give you that amount all up front at all. You have to work it out. So let's say someone says, I'm going to give you $1 million deal. Now, that sounds great, but you got to, your lawyer's got to get his cut, your manager's going to get his piece, and they may only give you $250,000 up front. So as you get the $250,000, the way the culture has set it up to keep you broke is everybody need a gold, everybody need a chain in your crew, you got to get you something nice to ride in, you got to do this, you got to take care of mama, you got to, so before you know it, you done spent your $250,000, and then you're like, well, it's all good, I got more coming, but then they say, oh, you got to do such amount of songs to get the next piece.
And do they have to require that those songs sometimes rank or something or hit a certain level on the chart?
Not particularly rank, but they have to come out. And the key of it is albums get pushed back all the time. There's no guarantee. So they may say you got 12 songs you have to do, but what you don't realize is the music side is only one part. The writer is the second half. So if you're only a producer, that means you got to do 24 songs to get out of your deal. And there's not many, I don't care who the producer is, not many people come out with 24 hits in a year. You know, that can take 3 years to do. That can take longer. And don't let anyone else come out hotter than you and you start getting less work. Now, you took the bait of a $250,000 thing that went the first month, and now you're a slave for the next 4 years or so trying to get another piece of change. And that's technically deeply the inside of how that works. So when I saw that, I didn't want to be a part of that because I was like, you know, I just saw it for what it was. And you know, my wife supported me, and that was a big thing, you know. And from there, we just I just rolled with it. I said, you know, I'm not going to do that. And if I was ever to do a deal, it would have been with Grand Hustle because that was my team. So if I'm going to do it, it'll be with them. But I'd rather not do it at all because I didn't see the value in it as far as a good business decision for me.
Because it sounds good. It's upfront. It's attractive, you know. But in the long run, it's better to own your own.
It's always
no matter.
Better to own. And just let someone collect on your behalf. And then, but it's not for everybody. Some people, like with me, I'm a strong believer in relationships, and I'm a go-getter to a point where I'll make an opportunity out of nothing. So most ways that they get people is they say, hey, you sign and we'll get you a lot of work. But you know, they never guaranteed that they were going to get me any work, but they said, we're going to get you work. So I'm like, if you can't guarantee me this, then I don't want to do a deal on you saying that maybe tomorrow you have a change of heart. So, but most people do those deals because they just want to do music. They don't want to think about the business, and then they say, well, I'll just let them bring work to me, but they don't realize that you're the new guy right now. So eventually there's going to be a new guy, and there's only a top 40, so they have to divide the work up. So they're going to have to shift that somewhere else. And if you're not a go-getter and know how to make it work, then you're going to be sitting. So
you're going to be sitting. Right. Well, wow, I tell you, this is an incredible show today. Our very special guest is none other than Kevin Cahill Cates, and he is with us, multi-platinum Grammy Award winning, over 30 million combined records sold. He's worked with everybody, has commercials. And it's just a brilliant man. He's taken this business by storm as a top producer here, certainly in the industry. And I tell you what, he is a philanthropist, a gentleman that is after all of our hearts, who has created a solution, developed a solution for the dropout. You know, we hear about all of the statistics every day about our students, our young students who are not continuing education, who are not learning. And I don't know, Kevin, if you I'm sure you feel this way. Obviously you do, that our system is antiquated, it's old, it's dates back 100 plus years, and we're in a new time. And so here, tell us about your Bridge the Gap program and this technology that you created, Cool Curriculum.
Okay, well, there was a point musically to where, and this is like the part I really get excited about, but there was a place where I hit this glass ceiling, and I said, okay, I work with everyone I want to work with, and my dad would always tell me, thing to be successful and another thing to be significant and actually make a difference. And after he passed away, I went on my quest of saying, okay, God, how can I be significant? And things that were exciting to me weren't excited anymore. And there was an award show I was being honored at, and a gentleman by the name of Dr. Charles Steele, the president of the SCLC, came to this hip-hop award show and apologized to all of the youth in the room for not passing the torch. And he said it was a lot we could learn from each other. And at that moment, the light bulb clicked on and said, this is my road to significance. Because for him to be that humble and do that, it made me realize how our generation is so busy chasing the money that we're repeating the process. And I'm seeing situations to where when I was young, I remember people saying we was crazy. But now, you know, you got people my age saying, I ain't going to the club. These kids crazy. And it's like, we're repeating. It's like, okay. Well, at what point do we break this cycle? So I met with Dr. Steele and said, I want to learn from you. And I begin to serve and help. And we put together a march called the Million March to Vote. This was in 2008, right before Obama got in office. And, you know, actually got, you know, worldwide recognition and a thank you, you know, from Obama's behalf. And I'm like, you know what? If that can happen, then the music, the box was eliminated, and I started taking my qualities that God gave me that I usually would just use for music, but implementing it in whatever I did. So God gave me a vision and a dream to write a textbook. And I'm like, are you sure? So I did my faith versus logic with this, and I'm like, okay, I don't even like, I'm an audiobook guy. I don't even barely read like that. Are you sure you want me to write a book? But I did it, and I said, okay, yeah. These kids, what do our youth need? I said, well, I noticed when we go and speak to them for assemblies and stuff, well, after we leave, the kids are just hyped. There's nothing left for them. It's just, you know,
right.
They're back to the normal. So I said, you know, we need
back
to create
to
a manual. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that helps them. That helps them persevere through the problems they face at home. So then I ended up with 12 topics. So I'm like, they need patience, self-determination, self-love. They need to know how to watch the company they keep, how to control their anger, how to deal with losing loved ones, how to, you know, work through substance abuse, HIV prevention. And before I knew it, I had 12 topics, and I produced songs for each topic. And
mm-hmm,
I did it in
mm-hmm.
a way to where it talks to them and not at them. So it's a situation
mm-hmm.
to where a student can a student will hear what's going on and actually the way the chapters are broken down is there's an overview segment that gives you the reason why this characteristic trait is important to have in your life. Then there's a solution segment that gives the blueprint of how to apply it to your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's
mm-hmm.
a short story of real testimonials that the kids can relate to. And it's all gelled through music. And the class is taught by Megan Good. She's also a board member with us. But Megan Good and myself teach the class via DVD or online. So the grade point averages, I mean, it's been amazing. The grade point averages have shot up
wow.
from 2.0s uh-huh. to 2.3s within our evaluations
wow.
and data. And, you know, the office referrals dropped 41%. And we really, you know, I took 3 years off and, you know, spent over $1 million and this finances and potential earned money to make this happen. And a lot of people
mm-hmm.
will look and say, Well, why did you have that in escrow?
Yeah.
I'm like, no,
uh-huh.
I didn't, because remember I didn't sell my soul. So every dime I made I had to budget and save.
Right.
So I literally spent money I didn't have and
wow.
but I realized it was times to where it was very, very tight, you know. But I realized that the road to success wasn't easy, so why would the road to significance be any different? So, you know,
right.
So as a family, you know, I have 3 kids now and my wife. So it was a journey we went through to make this possible. And, you know, it's just now the success of Bridge the Gap has taken off. And it's, you know, we're in all the schools in Nassau, Bahamas. We're in schools scattered out throughout the U.S. And it's all been organically just through people just being excited over the change we're creating, stopping suicides, gang wars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm.
you know, it's so many things that this book has been doing and the music and the whole component of it. So that transpired in the curriculum because I had
mm-hmm.
so many superintendents saying, hey, I love Bridge the Gap. I love it. But what do you have for the test scores? And after hearing that so many times, at first I got frustrated because I'm like, don't y'all care about what happens when
what
I leave school? But then I,
right.
But
mm-hmm.
then it
mm-hmm.
hit me. I said, you know what? I need to serve because if I can help solve
mm-hmm.
this problem too. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
although
mm-hmm.
I'm not an I didn't have an education major, but I am an expert at meeting our youth where they are. So
mm-hmm.
I said, you know what? Let me start working on this. So I literally started curriculum. And curriculum is literally over 600 songs that teaches everything our youth need, aligned with the Common Core in math, science, social studies, and English from kindergarten to 12th grade. So
wow.
videos to these songs. And literally it's Schoolhouse Rock on steroids, but for everything that our youth need to know, it's all in music form. So,
and it's today, in today's time, 2015, because Schoolhouse Rock,
yes.
that was out when I was young, and I know I'm older
right.
than you, so that's dated. So we need
oh, yes.
something new for now.
Oh, yeah. It's
yeah.
definitely, it's, and when I mention Schoolhouse Rock, because it was, I know it was, when I was growing up as a kid, I remember
uh-huh.
it would come on Saturday mornings, but I could tell the
mm-hmm.
music was dated. But it was the only
mm-hmm.
education music that we heard, so we used that
right.
to remember things. So now with this, with curriculum, I mean, you know, music is what I do. So I applied the same
right.
love and passion in making a hit record in these records.
So you'll be jamming the geometry or trigonometry and don't even realize it. You know, it's jamming music. And really, this is taking things to a whole nother level to where I sat back and said, wow, we just revitalized education. So we've been dealing with the White House and working on a lot of cool things. And I actually got a blessing that came through where I partnered with a group out of China and my partners here in America, and we actually designed my own tablet. So now we have our own hardware, and the Bridge the Gap tablet that has all of the content,
the software,
for curriculum on it, and Bridge the Gap. And we've cut deals with the textbooks with McGraw-Hill and Pearson, so we can get their textbooks loaded onto the tablet, saving the schools up to 50% to 60% on their book costs. So now, God is taking this thing to a whole nother level. And you're getting this for cheaper than an iPad, and they're faster than the iPads. They're nice. I mean, the company that makes them actually does Apple stuff too. But it's really been a true blessing to see how things
this
can evolve
is
from
amazing.
You know, being the guy from Alabama to now owning my own, you know, have my own computers and all these other things. So.
Oh, wow. So where can I mean, you know, because we have educators that listen and parents that listen. Where can they get this curriculum? Can they get it, and anyone get it in their school and get the tablets in there as well? And, what you know, how can they do that? Yeah.
Of course. We're launching the tablets and curriculum this fall. So we already been getting a lot of pre-orders. We've done our beta testing. It went awesome. It even helped with – it helped really great with our special education students as well and our students with autism, because it was just something
–
it captures the –
because they're
you know,
used
the
to
audience.
Using those iPads. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So, we really have something that catches the auditory listeners, the visual and kinesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
So – and we partner with Khan Academy, too, so they're able to do activities on the tablet as they listen to the music. So with that being said, we're launching this fall full-blown. And, you know, it can be done the way if you don't want to buy the tablet, you can also just actually do a subscription. And that way parents, you know, with their students can go and, you know, accelerate the kids' learning. My five-year-old can count by 10 to 200 and count by you can do whatever you want because from listening to the music. So it's really cool. It's a cool tool on that end if it's just something to be used that on the home front. But also within the schools, they're about to go in strong. And any teacher, any principal, or any school that's interested in the solution, especially with the pressure that these schools are under right now, and that's what really made me do this because, like you said, the problem isn't the superintendents, the teachers, or the principals, or the students. It's the outdated teaching system that teaches everybody how to learn one way, and that's not how we operate.
One way,
so
and that's not how we operate.
This is the solution. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So this solution will not only bring up the test scores, but get the students excited about learning again. And, you know, we have our course. Please, everyone, go to Coolriculum, that's K-O-O-L-R-I-C-U-L-U-M, like Coolriculum, but cool at the beginning, K-O-O-L-Riculum.com, and you can see a couple of samples of the songs. And also, you know, definitely go to Bridge the Gap, you know, Bridge, of course, B-R-I-D-G-E-D-A for Developing Academics. So it's bridgegap.org. And you'll be able to see the tablets and everything else as well. So,
Wow, I tell you, K-Ho, this is incredible. The time, we're going to have you back on our show. Time is going by real fast here. I wanted to ask you, where did you get the name K-Ho? And I know you've got a major event coming up, too. So, Ken, if you could take about 60 seconds and let us know where that name, because that's a powerful name. Everything is in a name.
Well,
and, you know, tell us about that, if you can, quickly, and about your major event that's coming up, too.
Sure. Well, the crazy thing about my name is it's tricky, and it happens all the time. It's really K-O, but
K-O,
and it's
okay.
Really, and it represents just me as a person, my personality, and just you never know what I'm going to come with next. What am I going to hit you with next? And that was a name that was given
me as on the artist side a long time ago, and it just stuck. And as far as the event, I'm so excited that you brought that up, because what we're doing is we've created our own day. So we have a national day on September the 12th. It's Bridge the Gap National Youth Empowerment Day. And the whole theme of this day is to really let everyone know, you know, okay, we sit on the sidelines and we see what's going on with our youth. And if we're really investing in our future, the children are our future, and we see these things happening and we say, wow, they ought to do something about this. But we have to realize that we are the day, and if we don't do it, it won't happen. So on September 12th,
right,
the whole nation's coming together to raise funds to revitalize our communities, rebuild the foundation of our youth with proven solution-driven programs, with mentorships, with community restoration, and we're shifting Bridge the Gap into more of a foundation standpoint, to where we're going to raise funds. I have all these, you know, all these different celebrities that's going to do a social media-thon on that day and get fans and people to raise funds. And we're going to go into communities and find other solution-driven programs along with the ones we have already and really go and make change in our community. So this is the movement, September the 12th, you know, and you guys will be hearing more about it, but I'm so excited for give us a day to do what we have to do for our babies, you know.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So K-Ho, I said K-O.
K-O, yeah, knockout, K-O. But you sounded so good saying it that, you know, I just, you know, it sounds
you
good.
You were so kind. You were so humble. No, she not even saying his name right. I love it. I love it. But we have enjoyed you on our show. Please make sure that you send us all your public service announcements about that September 12th day. And I want everybody to go to WealthySistersRadio.com right now. WealthySistersRadio.com. Make sure you click right there on our featured guest page. You can learn all about CoolCurriculum.com and Bridge the Gap. .org and all that Kevin has, I'm going to call you Kevin, that Kevin has in store, along with that wild having Megan Good on the board there and teaching as well with you. That is just outstanding. We are certainly excited about it and look forward to being able to do what we can on our end to continue to promote what you do, because that's what we do. We promote positive people here at Wealthy Sisters Radio. So thank you so much. Last 30 seconds, what would you like to leave with our audience today?
You know, I just want to first thank you for what you do and just being an inspiration to the sisters and just everyone who tunes into your show. And, I mean, my last
thank
thing
you.
Would be just to remember that we are the day. So if we don't do it, it won't be done. And God gave me a vision, and I was obedient to follow it. So we have a solution here, but it can't be done without us. So that would be the key.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, congratulations to you. Thank you again, KO, for joining us today. And we look forward to seeing and hearing more, much more. And for keeping that dream big, I mean, that's how you do it. Don't limit yourself. Don't be a basketball player on the team. And that's what you're doing.
Amen.
So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, what an incredible interview. I tell you, if you missed the first half of the show, I promise you, you do not want to miss this information that Kevin K.O. shared with us today. Please make sure you go to WealthySistersRadio.com. You can download our show and all of our fantastic shows right there. And we're also at Wealthy Sisters Radio. We're also on iTunes complimentary. You can get it on any smart device that you have. It's available for you 24/7. We are there. And so, you know, we've come to that time in our show today. Well, I just want to say thank you, of course, for joining us, but for that power thought of today, of the week here. And that is, we kind of had a little bit of talking about that, as KO talked about change. We'll talk about change, not being afraid of change, that change is the only thing that is constant, and change is not always bad. Change can be really good. We want to encourage you not to resist when you see things changing, you see things shifting, maybe something is happening in your business, you know, something happens in the economy, what have you, you know, a person decides to move on, things shift for a reason. And as you heard our guest today, Kevin, talk about how he recognized it was time to move on and bigger and better things. So I just want to encourage you today to know that that power thought is change can be good. So we appreciate you for joining us here on Wealthy Sisters Radio. Look forward to so much more. And as always, we wish you and yours the best of everything great. We'll see you next week. Bye now.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters.
We're
now listening to Wealthy Sisters. We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters. We're not listening to Wealthy Sisters. We're not listening to Wealthy Sisters.
Deborah
The opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of our host, staff, or partners of Wealthy Sisters Radio.